Hi, Changemakers, and welcome to this special edition of the Ambassadors Podcast. As some of you know, this podcast has a spin-off on our YouTube channel, and that show is called the Ambassadors Toolbox Show. And in this show, we dissect each episode, one tool, one process, one system, one methodology that can help you integrate a people-first mindset and an Amboss way of working into your day-to-day operations. And this is the audio recording of the second episode of the Ambassadors Toolbox Show, in which we dissect the topic of building trust and fostering employee engagement. We will zoom in into one of the most effective tools that we know to trigger real dialogue about trust in the workplace and to help each other and yourself improve acting out trusted relationships with your colleagues and other teams. If you like this content, please click the subscribe button. It keeps us motivated. And without further ado, here's the audio recording of the second episode of the Ambassadors Toolbox about building trust and fostering employee engagement. Hi there, and welcome to this second episode of our Ambassadors Toolbox, a show in which we dissect each episode, one tool, one process, one system, one methodology that can help you integrate an unbossed mindset and an unbossed way of working in your day-to-day operations. And the topic of this episode is building real trust. Everything starts with trust, and everybody knows everything starts with trust. But you know what frustrates me a little bit? It's when we as teams, we have these conversations and we have these workshops in which we talk and talk and talk and talk about what trust so-called means to us. And then we translate that into charters with statements and posters and we sign it off and everybody feels happy and connected. And then from the moment we leave the door and we open that mailbox, we act out the exact opposite of what's on the charter. And what's even worse, no one says anything about it. That really bothers me. And I think the reason is because we can only find out what we actually believe about trust rather than what we think we believe about trust by watching each other collaborate, by watching each other behave, by watching each other act out a trusted relationship. We simply don't know what we believe about trust before we do that. So as long as there's no feedback on actual behavior, as long as there's no consequences to my behavior, both positive and negative, we simply don't know what we mean with trust in a team. No matter how many hours we talk about it, we will never know. So for me, when we talk about trust in a team, the challenge is really acting it out. What does it mean to really act out a trusted relationship? And helping each other, helping our colleagues become better and better in acting out that ideal of a trusted relationship. Now, this requires courage and grit and a lot of commitment. This is not something that you do on the side. If you do agree with me that everything starts with trust, well, then this should be something that truly deserves your daily attention, isn't it? So instead of talking about what trust so-called means in workshops, I believe we first just need to work together, collaborate, act out, and feel. Everybody has to take the responsibility to feel which actions of our colleagues create more trust and which behavior leads to distrust. And then we need to have the courage to reflect and discuss on our actions and behavior. We have to do this. And then if we do that enough, we will start to see patterns across all those conversations that reveal what we really mean with trust in practice and in our daily reality. Now, in order to do this, we obviously need to understand the different components of trust. And it would be helpful to have a little tool to facilitate those conversations we need to have with each other. And the triangle of trust of Francis Frey and Anne Morris not only explains beautifully what trust is and how it's built up, but it also serves as a super simple tool to facilitate the difficult and tough conversations that we need to have with ourselves and with others in order to build real trust. Now, let me first introduce to you Anne and Francis. Here they are. Both beautiful, smart ladies. Francis is a professor of technology and operations management at Harvard Business School. And Anne was the CEO and co-founder of a company called, what's the name again? GenePeaks. Yeah. It's a computational genomics company developing breakthrough ways to identify genetic risk. Really cool. Make sure to listen to our Ambassadors podcast with Anne and Francis. It's episode 26. I remember learning tons from them and having loads of fun during the conversation. And we also highly recommend their best-selling book, Unleashed, the Unapologetic Leader's Guide to Empowering Everyone Around You. It's truly a masterpiece. I consider Anne and Francis as real change makers for human organizations, and they offer a worldview that resonates strongly with the worldview of Ambassadors. Also, they argue that the popular leadership advice in business schools and management consulting glosses over the most important thing a leader does, and that is building others up. Now, Francis and Anne are super clear about that. They say leadership is not about the leader. It's about how effective a leader is at helping other people grow and making sure this impact endures even in their absence. They believe the most effective leaders, they use a special combination of trust, love, and belonging to create an environment in which other people can excel. So that's Anne and Francis. And they created this very simple tool called the Triangle of Trust. And it looks a little bit like this. I really love it. Been using it for years. So this is the Triangle of Trust. And it basically says that there's three things we need to know about trust. Number one, if you sense that I'm being the real me, if you sense that I'm authentic, you are much more likely to trust me. Secondly, if you sense that I have real rigor in my logic, then you are far more likely to trust me. And thirdly, if you believe that my empathy is directed towards you, you are far more likely to trust me. Now, when all these three things are working together, we are building real trust in our relationship. But if anyone, any of these three dimensions starts to wobble, then trust is threatened. And typically, we all have one anchor, one dimension where we are very grounded in our relationships to others, and one dimension where we typically wobble and risk trust and the trusted relationship. For example, my personal, and I think the most common wobble is empathy. People often feel, and that's especially towards leaders, that they are too self-distracted. If you are like me, you're often on your phone while other people are presenting something. Maybe you're checking your emails while you're also having a conversation on the phone with someone. Maybe you have difficulty listening to people and you interrupt them before they are done speaking. Chances are that this dimension will wobble. And it's not surprising. We're all super busy with our own things. Makes it very hard to really make the time to be there for someone else. And so from my personal experience, the best advice I can give to people that experience a wobble in the empathy dimension is to put away your phone when you're in meetings and focus at one person at a time. The second dimension, logic, starts to wobble either by the quality of the logic or by your ability to communicate it. When it's the quality of your logic is at risk, maybe you are trying to be smarter than you really are. Do you react sometimes defensively to mistakes you make? And when people point out to you those mistakes, well, this can make this dimension wobble. If this resonates with you, I just want to say it's okay that you don't know it all. It's okay not to have the answers. And it's also okay to make mistakes. We need to make mistakes in order to learn. So that's the message for people that sometimes, where their logic dimension, because of the quality of their logic, is wobbling. Now, if logic starts to wobble because of your ability to communicate, you can train yourself in communication skills or just ask your colleagues with more natural talent to communicate to help you share the message or paraphrase what you're trying to convey. And lastly, we have authenticity. We humans, we have an ingrained sensor, the result of millions of years of evolution, to detect inauthenticity. And at the same time, it's super hard to be ourselves. It's like Paolo Nittini sings in one of his songs called Stranded Words, you know yourself can be so hard to be. And he's right. I guess it's everyone's life journey to dare to be yourself in any given situation. What has helped me a lot is acknowledging and assessing my own fears, only to find out that they're very unlikely to come through. And if they would, the consequences are not as bad as my mind makes me believe. So these are the three dimensions. And as I said, typically we are very grounded in one of these dimensions. And there's another dimension that starts to wobble and impacts the trust of our relationships with other people. Okay, so how can you use this very simple triangle to build more trust with your colleagues? Let me explain you. Boom. Okay, so if you are serious about building more trust in your team, the first thing you must do is self-reflect. Everything starts with yourself. Look at your closest relationships at work and ask yourself, where on this triangle do I think I'm shaking? So where do I think my colleagues perceive me as anchored? And where do they perceive me as wobbly? And why do you think that? Why do you think, for example, you're wobbling in empathy towards your closest colleagues? And maybe you're wobbling in different dimensions towards different colleagues. It could be that to one colleague, it's very easy to be authentic, but maybe it's super difficult for you to be authentic to your boss. So make your own self-assessment and then do the same exercise from your perspective towards your closest colleagues. Think of recent situations of tensions and assess which part of their triangle started to wobble for you. Did you miss their empathy? Did you feel they had no right to speak because they were not expert enough? Or did you doubt their authenticity? Do you feel they're putting a mask on? So assess yourself and your colleagues on the triangle. Really write it down, both the wobbles and the anchors of yourself and your colleagues. By the way, the template is part of our Unbossers Toolbox notebook, which you can download from our website, www.unbossers.com. Then, once you've done that, you go into step number three, which is invite your colleagues for dialogue, either one by one or in a team, whatever feels most comfortable to you. And start with explaining the triangle. You will have to explain the triangle of trust to your colleagues, but maybe do that using your own assessment of yourself and then ask your colleagues for feedback on your assessment. So for example, I could say to my colleague, I think my empathy is wobbling because I do this and this and this. Is this also how you perceive me, or what is your feedback, and so on. Once that's done, you can also share your perception or how you feel that their behavior risks the trust of the relationship. So where are your colleagues' anchors and where are your colleagues' wobbles? And finally, when you've discussed all this, you try to bring the dialogue to a conclusion and you try to agree, okay, what's the one thing you will start doing to build more trust? And what's the one thing you will stop doing? Now, after the first time you had this conversation with your colleagues, you will have laid the foundation, right? People understand the triangle, and you've learned to talk about trust linked to actual behavior in the workplace. From now on, every time someone does something that either gives you more trust or risks your trust, you can have a short conversation about it using this triangle. And the closer the act of behavior and the feedback are to each other, the higher the chance the feedback will lead to more growth and improvement. Now, if you go down this road, there are a number of pitfalls I want to warn you about. Let me switch. Here you go. So, the first pitfall is commonly known as the pillow issue. When given feedback, we're often cautioned to balance any criticism with positive comments to cushion the blow and keep the other person positive. We don't want to demotivate someone, or even worse, push them out the door. So we use the very common tactic of putting pillows of positive feedback around the constructive criticism in the middle. Now, this is very confusing for people. Instead, I advise you to be very assertive on the content. No pillow cushion there. Very assertive on the content and very empathic for the person. Pitfall number two is lack of specificity. Difficult word to pronounce, specificity. What I notice in team conversations and one-on-one feedback conversations that we like to use the phrases, you need to be more proactive. I need to see more commitment. We believe you do this or that. Now, for the person receiving that feedback, these types of words don't give them enough specifics to create a solution. For every piece of feedback, please use concrete and recent examples. Speak from the eye. I saw this. I heard this. I felt this. My request is that you do this. And if it's a broader issue, use multiple examples over time to share your concerns and your feedback. So be as specific as possible. Very, very important and definitely an important pitfall as well. And then lastly is about setting the context. Setting the scene and the context is everything. Where and when we give feedback really, really matters. The fact that we typically praise people in public and punish in private exists for a reason, you know? Giving feedback in a collective environment where people are not used to give feedback, like a weekly meeting, can cause some embarrassment and stress. Even if you as a manager, you don't think it's particularly harsh, that doesn't mean that the recipient feels the same. So especially when you're in the beginning of this process, really try to build up the trust first, maybe in one-on-ones and then in group sessions, so that the final goal is obviously that you can share all the feedback in the open with the team present. And also in terms of context, it's quite important to have a nice setting. So don't go for the closest meeting room. Choose somewhere where you can sit, relax, and informal. I like to go outside personally because when you're walking, you're always with the noses in the same direction. And there's something about being out in the open, especially in nature, that makes it much more easy to connect and be very assertive on the content of your feedback, but still very connected as human beings with the people you're talking with. So yeah, this is one. These are the three pitfalls: the pillow issue, lack of specificity, and the wrong setting. And this entire triangle of trust is just one effective way to build real trust. Is it the one and only truth? No. Is it easy? Hell no. I've been working on my triangle for years and still I wobble on a weekly basis. But with each conversation I have, I do feel that me and my colleagues make progress. And that's what it's all about. So yeah, that's it for this episode. Where's my end slide? Here you go. So hope it helps. We are Ambossers, change makers for human organizations. If you have need for support in your organization, don't hesitate to contact us through our website, www.ambossers.com. Also, make sure to follow our LinkedIn page. Don't forget to put the subscribe button so you can be up to date with our latest content. And everything we do for the love of people and business. Ciao. Okay, so that is a wrap for this episode of our Ambossers podcast. If you liked it, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you can stay up to date with all our future content. For the love of people and business, keep unbossing.